This is Gabriel Rentsch with the Cross-Baltic Daily News Brief for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2020. No quarter November is here. Our pastor took one of the most plain Jane months and turned it into one of my favorites. So make sure you check out his blog during this month, and maybe we can get hashtag no quarter November trending. Also, I hope you join us Tuesday night for some Cross-Baltic election coverage. We will have friends from all over the U.S. calling in to update us on how their states are doing. Our election coverage will kick off at 8 p.m. PAC time. So tune in live on the app. Just click on the live stream banner on the app. Or, of course, on Facebook and YouTube. Last Fight, Laugh, Feast University plug. Actually, I probably have one or two more this week because Dr. Tom Price's class is starting on Thursday, November 5th, and he's offering a fantastic Fight, Laugh, Feast University course on theology and culture. Dr. Price will walk through the foundations and theological analysis of intellectual and cultural trends that are impacting church and society. So learn to think like Christians in this moment. This class starts November 5th, and it will hold up to 25 households. So you can sign up, and your wife and children could all gather around and interact with Dr. Tom Price and the others who are joining in the classroom. COVID-19, do we have a coronavirus pandemic or a PCR test pandemic? This is interesting. This comes from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and is a topic that we've kind of discussed here and there with some of our guests in the past. This article goes on to say, it's not easy to culture a virus, and the cultures of the SARS-CoV-2 are not routinely done. Unlike in previous epidemics, so think of SARS-CoV-1, H1N1, Ebola, or Zika, World Health Organization, that's the WHO, guidance has no requirement or recommendation for confirmatory testing in COVID-19. So they don't really have a confirmatory testing process to make sure the test is even legitimate, unlike the past pandemics, which is interesting. There's surprisingly little information on the false positive rate of PCR tests for COVID. That all lab tests have false positives should not be controversial, but this idea has been entirely rejected by governments and the medical establishment. So the idea that we don't have a false positive rate for PCR testing is alarming, and this is actually been rejected by the governments and the medical establishment. It's quite amazing. It goes on to say, having great sounding numbers say a specificity of 99% is not enough. For all tests, the predictive value of a positive test depends on the prevalence of the disease. If most of the persons tested are free of the disease, a positive test may be more likely to be a false than a true positive. So the difference between a false positive and a true positive. This could at least partially explain the reports of large numbers of asymptomatic carriers of SARS-CoV-2. Failure to recognize the problem of false positives has consequences, such as possible quarantining of uninfected with infected individuals. And this has actually happened in our town. I've known people who got a false positive, had to go home for supposedly a two-week quarantine. They got retested within days, and then nothing showed up. They didn't have any, their test showed up as just totally negative, and so they were able to go back to work. But, you know, this person that was talking to me, they were going to have to take off 2 weeks of work because they had a false positive. The article goes on to say, the coronavirus is not a pseudo epidemic. Many thousands have died, but the dreaded second wave might be a surge of false positive tests that are inevitable in the mass screenings of healthy people. So we actually brought this up. We brought this up back in March and April. When you do a shutdown, all you're doing is delaying the pandemic. You're delaying herd immunity. If you guys remember when we had Dr. Jay Bhattacharya on, he said that herd immunity is not a strategy. It's just the way these things go. So people were asking him, is this a strategy or not? And that's not the question. The question is, how do we get to herd immunity? Because that's how these things happen. Viruses go through populations, and that's just the fact. Transgender who identifies as a deer is now in charge of Twitch censorship. This is going to go well. And this is according to The Blaze. In recent episode of Slightly Offensive, Elijah Schaefer offered a daily dose of madness as he discusses a new member of the Twitch moderation team, a transgender who identifies as a deer and who openly threatened to ban Twitch users with less diverse opinions. calling all Americans to back our constitutional freedoms. This transgender person says, I have power. They can't take it away from me, bragged Steph Lohr, also known as Ferociously Steph. And honestly, Steph goes on to say, and honestly, there are some people that should be afraid of me. And they are because I represent moderation and diversity. I'm going to come for harmful people. If you really are a blankety blank person, I'm going to stand up against you, period. And Twitch is endorsing me to do that. So Twitch has hired a transgendered, I get so confusing on what's flip-flop here, but a transgendered man or woman who also at times has identified as a deer, can't make this stuff up, to censor their platform or to be the standard for censoring their platform. That is just ridiculous. Now, speaking of cancel culture, MailChimp will now ban users that it deems as its sole discretion have sent false, inaccurate, or misleading info. So MailChimp, getting into your email. According to Discern.com, MailChimp, the largest mass email service in the world with 69% market share, will now not allow the distribution of content that is, quote, materially false, inaccurate, or misleading in a way that could deceive or confuse others about important events, topics, or circumstances, end of quote. Determining whether content is false, inaccurate, or misleading is in MailChimp's sole discretion, the terms of use update says. So now MailChimp is going to participate in cancel culture. Great. Club plug. It is news of these kind of cancel culture, big tech manipulations that should make you want to join our club. The state of big tech, the state of mainstream media is really appalling. And by the grace of God and your club memberships, our goal is to take over the CNN, Fox lane. We want to compete with them. We want to get there, and we need club members. We really do need Christians engaged in politics. And with your club membership, we hope to do this for years to come. So support Rowdy Christian Media by joining our club, and you can get, depending on your club level, a free t-shirt, access to club content, discounts to our conferences, coffee mug, bag of our delicious Sovereign Roast coffee, and more. So join the CrossPolitik Club. More than 30 million mail ballots still outstanding with only one day until election. So we're, you know, talking on Monday. Tomorrow is the election. And with just a couple days to go before the election, more than 31 mail ballots remain outstanding. More than 94 million, this is incredible, 94 million ballots have already been cast in the 2020 election as of early Monday morning, according to the U.S. Elections Project, which tracks the early vote closely. Almost two-thirds of those early votes were cast by returning mail ballots, that was about 60 million, while another 34 million were in-person votes. But the data also shows that 31 million mail ballots are yet to be returned. The Democrats are probably trying to get their hands on those. Not all states report party affiliations, but those who do include key battleground states, Pennsylvania and Florida, among the states reporting party registration. Far more Democrats have returned mail-in ballots than Republicans ahead of November 3rd, but they also have more outstanding ballots. According to the data, just about north of 8 million Democrats' mail ballots remain outstanding compared to the about 6 million mail-in ballots the Republicans have. I think they're specifically referring to Pennsylvania, one of the battleground states. So, as I mentioned at the very beginning of this news brief, we are going to have election coverage tomorrow night from about 8 p.m. till about 11 p.m. Pacific time. And I want to bring in, there's 13 battleground states that are contentious or close enough to be called battleground states. And we'll be covering more of this on the show tomorrow night. We hopefully will have Steve Dace calling in. We'll hopefully have some other political on-the-ground commentators, operatives calling in to our show on Tuesday night. And so I just want to give you kind of a list of the 13 battleground states you need to be paying attention to now. So starting at top, you have Arizona, Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Nevada, Texas. Yes, Texas is on this list. Very disappointing. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New Hampshire. So be paying attention. Those are the battleground states. We'll be covering them Tuesday night and see what happens there. Keep an eye out for these states and tune into our coverage on election night as we will share our amazing insight or actually have some friends like Steve Dace call in and give us a hand. Thank you for listening. This is Gabriel Wrench with CrossPolitik News. Support Rowdy Christian Media by joining our club at thefightlaughteast.com. download our app. With your partnership, you are providing us with the resources to compete, or hopefully, Lord willing, someday dominate mainstream media. So go to fightlaughbeast.com to take all these actions, and have a great day.